Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
And what the end of the restoration process truly looks like. Just to play catch up for the next 60 seconds, restoration is a promise from God, and this promise is for every believer. When you said yes to Jesus, your life should have started on a steady incline. I'm glad that my salvation, when I said yes to Jesus, when you repented of your sins and said, I want to receive you as my Savior and my Lord, I'm so glad that I get to go to heaven, but I'm also grateful that God left me on this earth. God not only left me on this earth to enjoy the creation, enjoy a marriage and family and friends and the high moments of life, but I'm glad that he left me so that I could also tell others how Jesus has changed my life, how Jesus has made the difference in my life. And so if you said yes to Jesus, restoration is a promise, but it is not guaranteed. You can say yes to Jesus and be broke, busted, and disgusted all the way to heaven. But I refuse to be miserable on the way to heaven. I'm going to go with a smile on my face. And when I leave this earth, I plan on being the best version of Brandon that there has ever been before. True restoration can only be found in Jesus. Everything else is just a Band-Aid. The world cannot do what Jesus can do. Jesus is the only one that could save you. Jesus is the only one that can truly put you back together. Why? Because God created you, so he's not just putting you back together. The Bible says, behold, I will do a new thing. The Bible says you are a new creation. He's not just putting the pieces back together. Some of those pieces are missing. Some of them you don't need to be a part of your life, and so God creates something new while the world only puts the pieces back together. We heard in Psalm 51, I loved preaching it last Sunday, that David talked about his restoration. He said, restore the joy of my salvation and grant in me a willing spirit to sustain me. Church, doesn't matter how long you've been saved, but we should pray that prayer that David prayed. Return to me the joy of thy salvation. Take me back to how excited I was when I said yes to Jesus. Take me back to when I was addicted, but Jesus took that addiction away, broke the enemy's stronghold in my life. Aren't you glad that you are not who you used to be? But some of us have been saved a little too long, and we forgot what it was like to be hungover. We forgot what it was like to go through withdrawals. We forgot what it was like to go through the pain of all of the things that this world has to give. But I'm not telling you you've got to relive the pain. I'm telling you to relive the joy and ask God, restore the joy of the day that you saved me and put in me a willing spirit that sustains me. Job goes on to tell us his restoration process. After Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had. When he prayed for his friends, those same friends that told him to give up, those same friends that told him to quit and throw in the towel, those same friends that said, the reason you're going through these things is because of unrepented sin in your life, God said, don't hate them, pray for them. Hating somebody doesn't change them, it changes you. Praying for somebody that hates you doesn't change them, but it sure changes you. And it could change them, but praying for an enemy, oh my God, it does something great in you. That's why the Bible said, blessed are those. Come on. Jesus said, when you can pray for those who come against you and persecute you, he said there's a blessing in that. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive. Forgiveness is the ultimate restoration. Forgiving their sin and I will heal their land. If you need forgiveness, start praying. Not on Sunday, but on Monday. Have an open dialogue with God that never stops. It might intensify during worship here on Sundays at 11. It might intensify on Wednesday nights, or it might intensify when you got your Bible open and you're having devotion with God on Thursday morning before you head off to work. But can I encourage you? You ought to be talking to God all day long, every day, and your prayers are not going to sound like, "Doth saith the Lord," and "Art thou Father who is in heaven." They're not going to sound like that. Sometimes that semi is going to come into your lane and you're going to say, "Jesus," and Jesus is going to keep you safe. And then when you pull past that semi, you're going to say stuff like, "Man, God, that was crazy." That's praying. That's talking to God. When you're walking into the doctor's office, you're going to say things like, "God, I know what I'm feeling, but I also know that you are the restorer of my health. You are the great physician. And God, let your will be done in this doctor's office, God, as it has already been done in heaven." When you walk out of a job that just fired you, I know you want to cuss them out. I know you want to run your mouth. I know you want to post on social media. But how would it be when you're taking the elevator or that walk to your car, if you would just say, "God, I pray that you bless this company. I pray that you bless that boss with a double portion." You say, "I don't want to do that." No, your flesh doesn't want to do it. But the Spirit says, "Hey, pray and I can turn, I can shift some things around." Restoration comes through a prayer life. Job received double for his trouble. And then we ended talking in Proverbs 6:30, the wisest man to ever live, Solomon wrote about restoration and restitution sevenfold. He says, "Do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. If he is caught, he must pay." Solomon was talking about if he was caught, but I'm here to tell you, it's not if he's caught, he has already been caught. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come, Jesus said, to give you life and life in abundance. When something bad happens in your life, put the blame on the devil. God is not trying to teach you a lesson. God does not try to do anything. God only does or he does not. And God said, "My job is life eternal and life abundant." And so when you have something go wrong in your life and something stolen from you, you know who the thief is. And the Bible says when you know who the thief is, sevenfold is coming to you. Let's listen to what Peter said in chapter 5, verse 10. "And the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while." I'm talking to those of you that have suffered a little while. And when I talk about suffering, I'm not talking about a cold, a cough. I'm not talking about a flat tire. I'm not talking about somebody said something mean to you on Facebook. I'm talking about you have suffered. You have suffered through mental illness. You have suffered through broken relationships, broken marriages. You have suffered through your kids not wanting to have anything to do with Christ and kingdom and his church. You've suffered for the kingdom. You've suffered because of your relationship with God. This is what Peter said. He said, "The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself." This is not a job God leaves up to the angels. This is not something he sends Michael or Gabriel on an errand to do. The Bible says that God himself will restore you. After you have suffered. I'm talking to somebody that 2022, every time that someone has stood on this platform and said, "Get your hopes up," it was a lifeline to you, because 2022 has not been the greatest year of your life yet. I'm here to tell you, if you've lived through the suffering, Peter said, after the suffering, God himself will show up in your life and he will restore you, and he will do three things. And these are the three things. He said he will make you strong. And it's not your strength, it's his. Paul said, "In my weakness, I am made strong." He said, I glory in my affliction, not because of the way it feels, but because of the result that it has. And this is the promise for believers in the room today. Suffering is never going to feel good, but suffering, you can deal with the suffering if you know at the end of this suffering, God himself is going to step into my life and restore me and bring his strength into my weakness. He said, "I'll make you firm." One of my favorite songs right now is "Firm Foundation," still. At least once a week, I put that on repeat in my truck. And I have a worship service right there in my truck, driving 70 miles an hour down Interstate 10. And that raspy voice of Chandler Moore, "Firm Foundation." And when I think about what I stand on, it gives me enough faith to continue what God has started in my life, and that suffering will not always last, but my faith in Christ is my firm foundation. And he said, you'll be strong, you'll be firm, and you will be steadfast. Steadfast means unmovable. If there's any time in our generation that we've ever need to be unmovable, it is July of 2022, because the world is shaking, the world is quaking, pastors are losing it, believers are backsliding, but I am here to tell you, in the time of my suffering, I'm not looking at the suffering, I'm not looking at the one who causes the suffering, but what I am doing is I'm looking over the head of the enemy, and I can see that my restorer, my redeemer draws nigh to me, and I know that after the suffering, when God shows up, he is bringing me strength, he is shoring up and fortifying find the foundation of faith that I have. But he said, I'm going to make you unmovable. Doesn't matter what hurricane blows. Doesn't matter what tornado happens. Doesn't matter who comes and who goes in your life. Good days, bad days, valley days, mountain days. He said, I'm making you unmovable. One of the most popular pastors of our generation is come out to say that tithing is no longer, that he's been wrong on tithing these last 30 years that he has taught tithing. The problem I have with that is it's worked for me. You cannot tell me that tithing is unscriptural when it works for me. If it was unscriptural, then it would not work. But I'm here to tell you, I have given tens of thousands of dollars to the kingdom of God, and I have never had to beg bread. I have never gone without. There's been some times where I was a little short, but God has already made up the difference in my life. I am here to tell you, grace is not something that causes us to embrace less. Grace causes us to embrace God with all that we are, and it's not a I have to. Grace moves us to the place that I get to. People have asked me, what do you think about that? I'm unmovable. I'm not responsible for what he says, what she says, what they do. But I would encourage that pastor, if tithing has been wrong all of this time, then pay all the members back. He said, burn all my books that I've ever done on tithing. I said, oh, how convenient is that? Burn all those books that you've already paid for, and he's going to write new books that he's going to want you to buy to replace those books. Sometimes it's just a shell game with some of these preachers. I don't want your money. I want your soul. I want your soul. When I say I want your soul, I want you to go to heaven. You say, well, you need money for the church to run. Oh, we need money for the church to run, but this is how I believe as a pastor. If I preach Jesus and I preach him crucified and we put VBS on for these kids and camp for these kids and youth, in women's ministry and men's ministry, if we open the altars, if we worship, if we lay hands on the sick, if we cast out devils, I know that my God is going to take care of us. He will just put it in the bank account, or he will bring people. He will bring benefactors. I am here to tell you, as long as we do what God has called us to do, we are unmovable. No matter what. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm unmovable. Tell him, I'm unmovable. Tell him, you can try, but you can't stop me. He said, strength, firm, steadfast. Let's talk about the potter's perspective. Isaiah tells us the truth that will change our lives. This is a truth that is in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. This is also something that Jesus shared when he was 12 years old with the teachers and the lawyers and the scribes and Pharisees. So Jesus reiterated this in the New Testament, Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God talking to Isaiah. Neither are your ways my ways. That should help somebody today in the room or online. That God is not doing it our way. Remember this, God has ways that we don't even know about. God has a way of doing things that if he told us, it would be confusing. If you want to be confused, ask Pastor Sean about the stock market, selling short, options. You will follow him about 4 seconds, and then he's going to shift into another gear, and he's going to lose you altogether. Sometimes when I talk to God and I want to know the why, God says, all right, you want to know the why so bad? God loses me in 8 words. It hurts my brain. And I say, you know what, God? That's why you're God and I'm just a flawed man. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways are greater than my ways. They're not my ways, declares the Lord. Verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God does it different. Church, we have to embrace the I don't need to know. I don't need to know how he's going to do it. I don't need to know when or who he's going to use to do it. I know Jesus, and that's enough for me. And when he gives me something to do, my obedience and trust says yes. But God, you don't have to tell me every little thing you're going to do, because listen, that might injure my faith. But I'm here to tell you that when you can rest in the fact that what we sang here today is not a lyric, but it is straight word, that even when I don't see God moving, he's moving. Even when I don't see him working, he is working. I want to encourage somebody today. God is moving in ways that you don't understand. God is working in ways that you don't understand. But I'm here to tell you, if you will stand firm in the faith, in the word that you know, in the promise that God has given you, you are going to live long enough to be able to have that aha moment saying, oh, that's what you were doing, God. I'm so glad that I didn't bounce early. I'm so glad that I didn't quit too soon. But what you said now makes sense. In business, we call it hindsight is 20/20. I was talking to a friend of mine a few weeks ago, and I said, there's a stock that if I had held on to that I had invested maybe $1,500 in at 18, it would be worth $150,000 today. Hindsight's 20/20. I was feeling bad until he told me that he was one of the original investors in Bitcoin and got out too early. He said, I would be a multimillionaire. But his hindsight is 20/20. Looking back, I can now see God's hand moving in my life, directing, orchestrating, bringing people into my life, taking people out of my life. I've said it, one of the greatest blessings of God is not who he brings into my life, but when he takes people out of my life. And 6 months down the road, their life explodes and implodes, and you're thinking, God, I was sad. I was hurt when they walked away. But now when I see it, I can see that your hand was orchestrating to get them far away so that their marriage mess up didn't mess up my marriage, so that what's going on in their personal life didn't jump into my personal life. This is why the Holy Ghost is so important for believers, because the Holy Ghost teaches and guides us into all truth, the Bible says, which means that when his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than ours, the Holy Ghost in us tells us what we need to do and when we need to do it. Most of the time we are making decisions based on right now, how we feel. Can I encourage you, never make an emotional decision? Because when we make emotional decisions, we are making a lot of times permanent decisions on temporary emotions. So there's a lot of times when you need to sleep on it, pray on it, meditate on the word, maybe ask a mentor, maybe ask an accountability partner, hey, what do you think about this situation? But a lot of times how we feel decides what we do, and how we feel should never decide what we do. What do we need today? A lot of times we look at today's needs and we get very, very serious about what we need today, and we will sacrifice tomorrow's provision and sustenance on today's need. Sometimes we make decisions based on what our brokenness looks like today. Remember, God's restoring us. So there's going to be days where you feel broken because you are broken. Some days you're going to feel hurt because you are hurt. You're going to feel lost because you are lost. However, let me encourage you with this phrase, God is playing the long game. God sees the end from the beginning. God is not just concerned with July of 2022. He's in your August, he's in your next year, he's in your next decade. God is the only one that can see the beginning and the end at the same time. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And because God is the only one that can see the beginning and the end at the same time, God is the only one I trust completely. I asked Pastor Mandy when, because I've had this all of this series done. I add things to it through the week, but the series has been done for weeks. I went in her office the other day and I said, "Do you trust me?" She goes, "Of course I trust you." I said, "Do you trust me implicitly 100%? She thought about it. She goes, "No." And I said, "Good. You shouldn't trust anybody 100%. She said, "Well, you got quiet because you're like, well, my spouse, I trust my, you don't trust them 100%. That's why you text them every 3.5 hours. Where are you at? What you doing? That's why you got 360 me and me on their phone so you can see where they're going." So I thought Mandy, well, I was like, "Why don't you trust me 100%? I thought she was going to tell me like some like philosophical statement that she had studied that God had dropped in her spirit. She goes, "Remember that time you were preaching with that chainsaw?" And she's like, "You got it like this far from Tyler's face." She's like, "That makes me not trust you 100%. I'm like, "That's why you don't trust me 100%? I'm glad she didn't ask me why I don't trust her 100% because it wasn't about a chainsaw. But the great apostle, Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's a joke, y'all. It's all right. On his little leather vest. You know you are a bad man when you can wear your underwear and a leather vest and a gold chain and everybody thinks you are the coolest, baddest dude on the planet. But on his vest, it used to say DTA. Don't trust anybody. The only one I trust implicitly is Jesus. And you say, "You don't trust your wife?" I don't feel bad saying I trust her 99.9999999%. Don't trust her 100%. You say, "That's bad." No, it's not. I don't trust me 100%. Let me just be honest with you. I trust her more than I trust me. You know why? Because I don't know her like I know me. Can I just talk to those of you watching today? I want to encourage you with all love from your pastor here at Living Way. If you are skipping out on church and there was no good reason for you not to be in the room today, can I encourage you to come on back to church? If you're going all around town and you're at Fiesta, Texas, the movie theater, come on back to church. I'm not saying it in a negative, hateful way. I'm just saying come back to church. And the reason I say that is I saw a saying the other day that said, if you keep missing church, you'll eventually stop missing church. And I say all that to say this. This is what triggered that thought is, I don't trust me, and I come to church 3 or 4 times a week. I don't trust me, and I read my Bible every day. I don't trust me, and I worship every day. I don't trust, I know this is going to shock you, but I fast on a regular basis. I don't trust me, and I have people that are pouring into my life all the time. And so this is where we really have to lean into Christ and say, you know what? Every day I've got to crucify my flesh because I don't trust it, but I'm going to put my faith in you, Jesus. And when I put my faith in you, Jesus, everything is going to begin to change. And so if you are going to go through the restoration process, what you are going to have to do is take your hands off the steering wheel, take a step back and say, God, you now have permission to fashion me any way you see fit. Take things out of my life, put things into my life. Take people out of my life, put people into my life. God, if there's habits that need to be broken, break them. If I need to be made uncomfortable, make me uncomfortable. If I need to be stretched, stretch me today, God. But I am giving you permission. Oh, I'm telling you, if you would pray that prayer today, the next 6 months of your life, they might be uncomfortable. God might stretch you. You might be spinning on that wheel. But come January, it's not going to be no New Year's resolution. Your entire life, your entire outlook, who you are will be new because you've been restored. Praise team, if you'll come. God is the only one that I trust. There's 3 trusts for God. I trust God's when. That's a hard one, y'all. I trust God's when. What if I pray about it on July 17th, but I don't get it until 2024? I trust God's when. You know why God doesn't ask you when you want it? Because he already knows the answer now. For you singles, God doesn't say, "Hey, when do you want that special man or special one?" Now, right now. God, but God doesn't give it to us when we want it. Listen, because we're broken. And if he gives us the right person, but we're broken, he has just given us the right person when we're the wrong person. And the right person coming to me is the wrong person, the relationship is wrong. That's why the Bible talks about being unequally yoked. Because when you're unequally yoked, God can bring you the best things in your life, but they are stolen by the company you keep, who you choose to date, who you choose to marry, who you choose to do business with. But I am here to tell you, God, I trust you when you want to bless me, when you want to give me, when you want to open that door. I am telling somebody today, take a timetable off of God and say, God, put me on the potter's wheel, and when I'm ready, open doors. When I'm ready, bring those things. When I'm ready, I trust you with my when. Stand on your feet. The second trust, I trust God's where. Trust God's where. Trust God's when. I trust God's where. Jeremiah 18, God says, hey, Jeremiah, go to the pot.